Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our gospel reading from John, where Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. Or perhaps even better, he reveals himself to Philip and Nathanael, where Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And today we look at the response and what elicits that response. That you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Dear friends in Christ, one of the most famous lines from Star Wars is, "May the Force be with you." And my dad, he loves that movie. He loves all the movies. And he's also a Lutheran pastor. And so one of his children, one of the more thoughtful ones who does things like remembers his birthday, things like that, they gave him a shirt one year that said, "You may be a Lutheran Jedi if when they say, 'May the Force be with you,' you respond, 'And also with you.'" I am sure there might be a number of Lutheran Jedi here today. Sometimes we are so caught up in our response, we're so ready to make our response because that we don't quite notice what we're responding to. The words, our response, it kind of just flows. We didn't actually notice what happened before. Not very closely. Well, God is the one who comes to the people in the text. God is the one who demands the response. He comes to Philip and says, "Follow me." He comes to Nathanael, seen under the fig tree. He comes to Samuel in the Old Testament reading repeatedly at night. And our tendency is to go right to the response. Philip told Nathanael what and who they found. And when Nathanael gave his tepid response that disparaged Nazareth, Philip said to him, "Come and see." People have made whole evangelism programs out of that response as they focus on that response, the "come and see" response and telling. Nathanael cries out, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." He responds when Jesus says he saw him. And we also spend our times practicing our praises. Samuel, prompted by Eli, says, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." All these are good responses, ones that we commend to our young repeatedly, particularly during Sunday school. But often we spend so long on the responses, we focus on the response so much, that we kind of forget what they're responding to. On confirmation, I teach the Ten Commandments. "You shall have no other gods. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not steal," and so on. And I have the children memorize the commandments and the meanings from Luther's Small Catechism. And I always tell them that the beginnings of the meanings should be easy. They begin, "We should fear and love God, so that," with only minor variations for all 10. For 8, it's exact. Actually, for 9, that part's exact. For only 1, does there any variation from that part. In fact, we almost skip over that part. We try to say it so fast when we're reciting so that we can get to the hard part, the part that we're working on, that we almost ignore that part. But maybe we shouldn't. Maybe I should give almost full credit for saying that part. "We should fear and love God so that." Because it tells us that the God of the universe, the one who created it with his word, the one who is mighty in power and still sustains it. He also sees and he cares for me. And so we go on to say that he sees and cares. And thus we know that he sees and cares how I treat his name, how I treat my parents, how I treat my neighbors. And with those words, he invites me to see that he is still acting and sustaining the universe, even in me. So yes, I fear and love him, because that's who he is. That's what this is all a response to. Fearing and loving God, because God has done all things for us. We spend whole paragraphs in confirmation speaking about what the God, the Father, has done in the creeds. They complain when we get here. They say, how are we ever going to memorize that much? It talks about how he creates and sustains and protects, and that goes on for paragraph after paragraph, speaking of it. And then finally, near the end, there is one sentence about our response. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. In the second article, we spend whole paragraphs on the Son, who he is, begotten of the Father, born of Mary, my Lord, who redeems, who purchased and won me with his holy precious blood. And at the end again, one phrase of response, that I may serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. What God is, and who God is, and what he does, and how he cares for me, is a far bigger deal than my response. God is, and God acts, and we can see him acting. And that's always what precedes the response. Jesus comes and calls. He comes, God in the flesh, and calls. He comes and sees. And that always precedes our response. Now, it's not that our response doesn't matter. We even practice our responses. We do. And if you look in the Old Testament reading, Samuel, he practiced his response. Eli helped him. He needed Eli to instruct him to give a response. But more important than the exact form of the response might be that it follows recognizing God and recognizing God's word and God's action. There was no response until they knew that God was speaking. Nathanael disparaged Jesus from a distance until he saw that God was acting. We do learn our response, but we do learn our response so that we don't have to worry about it, but instead can spend our time seeing God, and seeing God in his word, and God in his actions. One thing that I love about our liturgy is that since most of it is memorized, I have it mostly memorized, I have time to see God, to realize how good it is to praise the Son of God and the King of Israel. Knowing the response, it helps me to focus on God, not on my speaking. Now, to my shame, I, like many of you, sometimes do think about other things. I don't use that extra time to go ahead and think what God has done often. I do it instead to think about other things, like football games or plans for the rest of the day. But God still gives me that time and those words, that I may see him. And what happens? When we see God, when we recognize that he is God, when we don't turn away, well, we see God more and more. I'm not really quite sure how many people saw Jesus and to whom he said, follow, to whom he also said, follow me. But there are other places in the Gospels, not here, but other places in all four Gospels that speak of nameless others whom Jesus told to follow him, who turned back, who didn't follow, who didn't see God and his call in Jesus, and so they didn't get to see him more and more. Those who saw God, those who followed, well, they kept seeing God in his miracles and his healings, in his teaching and his word and his parables, in his suffering and his dying, and in his resurrection and life. And they saw God acting until after the resurrection they could even see God acting in them. Nathanael saw God seeing him when Jesus saw him under the fig tree. Nathanael recognized God, that God saw him when he cried out, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. And Jesus promised him that he would keep on seeing God. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Samuel heard and saw God when the messages and visions were rare. But as Samuel listened and saw God, he became a mighty prophet. God raised up a prophet for Israel in him. And Samuel kept seeing God. When we respond and see God, God keeps revealing himself to us. To him who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance. And to those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. God promises to keep revealing himself to us. So I ask you today, do you see God coming to you today? He comes to you in his word. The very Son of God comes to you. The King of Israel comes to you with his word. He says, I know you. I saw you when you were washed in the waters of baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When you hadn't known him yet, he knew you. He's feeding you not with figs, but with Christ's very body and blood. And you will have a response. Thank and praise, serve and obey. But before you worry too much about the response, take some time to think of, to see God coming for you, caring for you. And then keep on seeing him. For it is promised that you will see greater things than these. As you learn to see God. God calls. He says, follow. God keeps revealing himself to you time and again through word and sacrament and even through other people and even in you. See God and see him acting. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.